It's an honor to be with you this morning on this Compassion Canada Sunday as we take a few moments and continue thinking about those folks around us who are living in poverty and what we can do as Christians to help them. As you heard, my name is Bill Coleman. More formally, people call me William, but you can call me Bill if you want to. My church in St. Thomas calls me Pastor Bill, and I am a more or less retired pastor. And I had the privilege of pastoring altogether for over 40 years. And I'm here with Nancy, as you heard. And we've been married 52 years tomorrow. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. It's not too late to send a gift, though. We have three children. We have five grandchildren. And so for those of you who are trying to do the math, okay, I'm 71 years old, and I know you're surprised. You thought, couldn't be a day over 58, right? Yeah. No, but anyway, thanks for the compliment. You know, some years ago, Nancy and I had a life-changing experience. We went on a mission trip to Honduras to visit sponsored children with Compassion. And let's see here. If we could put up the second slide on the PowerPoint. I guess we're working on that. I was going to show you a picture. Almost. We're all holding our breath. Okay. Well, that's okay. Nancy and I had this life-changing experience when we went to Honduras. The poverty that we witnessed there, including our own sponsor girl, that was absolutely heartbreaking. And so I came back with a goal to show as many Christians as I could the words of Jesus and the apostles about our responsibility to God to remember those who are living in poverty. And so my prayer for you this morning is that you will get a little deeper sense of God's heart. And of course, since we're here with Compassion Canada, I really hope that you'll sponsor one of our children too. And we'll say more about that later on. And if you already are a sponsor, listen, thank you so much for your ministry. You're doing a wonderful thing. It's just awesome. And maybe I could encourage you to sponsor another child today. The need is so great. There are so many children. We're just praying and waiting for sponsors around the world. So my prayer everywhere I go is that everybody that comes to church that morning goes home with a new child. Everybody goes home with a bigger family to love. But before we talk about Compassion Canada and how they can help us remember these ones living in poverty, I'd like to take a look at the life of the Apostle Paul. We want to examine particularly Paul's attitude towards helping those in need, because what it's going to do is going to give us a picture of what our attitude should be. So eventually, maybe the slides will come up, but the question is going to be, what do we know about Paul? We know from reading the New Testament book of Acts and the epistles that he was a gospel preacher, he was a missionary, he was a starter of churches around the Roman Empire. But we also know that's not all Paul did. That's usually all we ever hear about Paul, but that's not all Paul did. Paul also encouraged people like us to give financially to help those suffering the most, and he talked about this a lot. And so as we read his testimony in the New Testament, what we discover is his personal attitude towards those living in poverty is very clearly presented. Now, I want to give you some examples. For instance, when he was first ordained to the gospel ministry, he was commissioned into his church planting ministry by none other than Peter, James, and John. Remember them? Three of the original apostles of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine having them at your commissioning service? They were the inner circle of Christ, and they commissioned him to do his gospel preaching ministry around the world and church planting ministry, but that's not all Paul told them to do. And I'm going to read to you from Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. This will be slide 4 if we find it. Here's what Paul wrote. He says, only they, now who's that? That's Peter, James, and John, asked us to remember the poor, the very thing, Paul says, I was, you ready? Here's one of our one or three memory words for today. The very thing, Paul says, I was eager to do. Let's all say eager. Eager, good, thank you. So what we find here, this is one of three memory words for today, that Paul remembered the poor. He didn't have to be told to remember the poor. He was already eager when Peter and those men encouraged him. What we learn right from the very beginning in this day's topic is that Paul's attitude was eagerness to help those who are in great need. Now, he was not, on the other hand, here's a second memory word, which we'll come to. You ready? Reluctant. That's a Bible word. And because he wasn't reluctant, he didn't need, third word, to be compelled. That is pressured. You're like, ow, 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 don't make me do it. He was eager, not reluctant. This is a very important theological point in the New Testament. Well, later on in Paul's ministry, he devotes two whole chapters to the subject of giving with an eager heart. Those two chapters are found in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. So this would be slide number 6 coming up, okay? Thank you. In these two chapters, Paul's going to compare and describe these two different attitudes of eagerness versus reluctance, but then he's also going to give us two outcomes, like two things you can expect to happen from these two attitudes. So the first attitude is eagerness. We'll find out what Paul says about the rest of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Great, there we go. He says, "We want you to know, brothers," or brothers and sisters, "about the grace of God that was given among the churches of Macedonia." It's the same passage we just heard. He says, "For they, during a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their," watch this, you may want to circle this in your Bible, "extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." Now notice what's going on here, folks. Paul's giving a comparison between the Corinthian church to whom he's writing this letter and these other churches who are in a different place. The good example in Paul's letter are the Macedonian churches. And he wanted the Corinthian churches to slow down and examine themselves and say, okay, take a look at these other examples, because here they are living themselves in a severe test of affliction and persecution. Just like we just prayed for the persecuted church, well, that's exactly who they were. And they were also living in extreme poverty. Very important. Their circumstances were very difficult, but notice what's going on. Verse 1, he says, "The grace of God," God was still there in spite of all the difficulties, and God's grace was still there working in their lives. He was giving them joy in their hearts. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And that joy was overflowing in their attitude and their life with a wealth of generosity, like they had a generous spirit. Now look at verse 3. It says, "For they gave according to their means." Now let's stop. What did Paul say their means were? Extreme poverty. We would say, those folks didn't have any means. That's what they'd say where I come from. In case you're wondering about my accent, Tennessee. Okay, now, see, I thought he sounded like he was from down south. I've lived most of my life in Canada. "They gave according to their means in spite of being in extreme poverty. And as I can testify, beyond their means," very important, "of their own accord." Verse 4, "begging us earnestly," or begging us, the Greek would say, "over and over for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." See, Paul was collecting money to help people who are particularly in Jerusalem suffering through a very difficult time. What we're learning here, though, is that even with their circumstances, from their hearts, this group of Macedonians were begging earnestly to participate and give sacrificially from what they had. Now listen, sometimes the word of God is called a sword, sometimes it's a hammer, sometimes it's like a fire that sets us on fire, and always it's trying to give us like that shot in the heart, you know, to get our attention. And that's exactly what's going on right here. Because, you know, when we read about them begging earnestly, what happens? It raises a very important question for us. It's a tough question. So you got to put your seatbelts on. You ready? Okay. Click. You ready? When was the last time you ever begged to give to something? I know. You know, I feel the same way. It's like, ouch. Well, we have to remember what we're reading here. It's very convicting. This is God's example to us. God reveals stories to us that we can read them, just like he wanted the Corinthians to get a shot in the heart from this. He wants us to read this and ask those kinds of questions about ourselves, about our own attitudes, about giving to help those in poverty. So Paul is here in this letter trying to convince the Christians in Corinth to change their attitude about giving, because this is not the first time he's talked to them about this. If we had time, we could go over to 1 Corinthians, the first letter, chapter 16, where Paul gives a few verses saying, now look, church in Corinth, we want you to collect money. We want you to help out. We want you to help out these people who are living in poverty. And then we read in 2 Corinthians where Titus went to visit them. And yes, they seemed to be kind of interested in the whole thing. But you know what? They never got around to doing anything. They just kind of thought about it, and they never really did it. So Paul has to write them two letters, and in the second letter, devote two whole chapters to get them on board. On the other hand, we have the Macedonians. In spite of difficult times, they're a good example. They're giving of their own accord. Like there's something going on in their heart because of grace. And that giving by the Macedonians was not because they were being manipulated. It wasn't because they were being made to feel guilty. It wasn't because Pastor Bill showed up one Sunday and made everybody feel horrible about themselves. No, it was they were giving out of what? Joy. Like the spirit of joy was in them, a God placed in their hearts. They did it because they wanted to, in other words. Well, to really understand what's going on here, if we were to read all of Paul's letters about any topic, we soon discover that underneath everything that Paul writes is always one central truth. You know what it is? The gospel. The gospel shows up on every page of the scripture one way or the other. His central theme is always going to have something to do with the eagerness of our God shown to us through Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection, so that you and I can have an opportunity to come to him in repentance and faith and be saved. And so what we are understanding here is that the gospel and God's earnestness to give is a model for our Christian life in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways is the attitude towards giving to those who are in need. And so I'm not surprised that in verse 9, you can skip down there, Paul says this, he brings it up. He says, now, Corinthians, let me remind you, you already know about the grace, there it is again, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that extravagant, undeserved grace for you, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Why? So that you by his poverty might become rich. Jesus Christ was rich. He was the Son of God. He was the second member of the Trinity. He had all the riches of the entire universe at his disposal. But what does the scripture say? Philippians chapter 2, we celebrate this every Christmas. He humbled himself. He emptied himself. And he took on the physical body of a servant, Jesus. Why? To die on the cross for our sins. You can read about it in Philippians chapter 2. So it's important to think here that when Paul says we might become rich, what he's referring to here is what the New Testament calls the riches of our salvation. Like all the benefits we get because we're in Christ, like forgiveness of sins, a promise of a home in heaven one day, the fellowship we have together and believers like you're going to have in lunch after church today, and how the Holy Spirit just generates that, and all the very, very many different gifts that God gives to us through his Spirit. What he's not talking about here is making us financially rich. And here's why we know that. That would make no sense at all in this passage, because who are the heroes? You see, the heroes are the Macedonians who are already in extreme poverty, who are making themselves even poorer for the sake of other people. This has nothing to do with financial riches. Paul is, however, in the context of chapters 8 and 9, giving us the right attitude towards giving. It is be eager, like Jesus, that's the way he is, in your giving, in your lifestyle, and how you relate to those living in poverty. In other words, make yourselves poor for their sake, just like our Savior did for us, just like the Macedonians were being a good example of in their life, as a gospel example. Well, I'd like to look at one more verse of Scripture that explains what Paul wanted the Corinthians to do. And then I'll share a little bit about how Compassion Canada can help us be that eager giver ourselves. But in chapter 9, verse 7, you may want to read both these chapters when you get home, because they're both on the same subject. In verse 7, Paul says, okay, Corinthians, after all this, each one must give. Now, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about giving to this project he was raising money for to help people in poverty. How are they to give? As he has decided in his heart, not, okay, here we have our second memory word, remember? Not reluctantly, you know, grumpy face, or because you're reluctant, needing to be, third word, compelled, you know. So we've seen three words today, eager and reluctant. Reluctant people have to be compelled. You know what this does? This is going to bring out two different sort of outcomes to this whole matter. You know what they are? There's really two attitudes when you put it all together for giving to those in poverty. Here they are. Number one, begging to give like the Macedonians. Or number two, being begged to give like the Corinthians. Two letters, two whole chapters. I say, Bill, how many letters would you need from the Apostle Paul himself, you know, before you do something? It's a very good question, and one of those punch to the heart questions. Well, with all of that as getting foundational, God says he wants us to be a what? A cheerful giver. We've all heard that. That's what he's looking for from us, isn't it? Because that's who he is. He's that eager giver of the gift of salvation to everyone who comes to him in repentance and faith. And if you've never come to Christ in repentance and faith, he has the riches of salvation for you. And I'm sure the people, folks here would be loved to talk to you about that. Christ and God becomes our example, our foundational base for whatever we give to. And so with that as foundational, I'd like to share a little bit about how compassion can help us be that eager, cheerful giver to those who are living in poverty. And so let me kind of change gears here and begin with some basic thoughts. We all know this. There are tens of thousands of people, millions of people, no doubt, around the world who would love to immigrate to Canada. And you know why they want to be here? Because they know what we have. Okay? My next statement may seem like a shocking idea to you. For many of them, it would be better, not all of them, but for many of them, it would be better for them to come to Canada and wind up homeless than what they're experiencing where they are. Now, we don't want that to happen to them. Of course, we don't. And in fact, this week, I have a young man that I disciple who's right on the verge of homelessness. And we were meeting this week with a social worker trying to work some better things out for him. He got saved off the streets. And he was an addict. He loves Jesus, but there's a lot of things that are hindering him from having stable housing. And so we want to help as many people as we can. But you say, why would you say something like it'd be better for them to be homeless? Well, compare. Here we have free medical care. There, many of those people don't. They just get sick and die. Here we have free public school education. And for many people, they can also private school or homeschool. There, many of them don't have those things. They can't afford it. And so they don't get the education they need. They never get out of the cycle of poverty. And that's generally more true for girls than it is for boys. How about this one? Here we have clean water. And today we seem to have a lot of it. But here we have clean water. Most of us just take it for granted, don't we? We all used it this morning, no doubt. We don't even think about it. There, many of them are sick much of the time because of the water that they have to drink. Here we have hundreds of agencies and charities and government programs and churches. And the reason I'm helping this young man in St. Thomas who's almost homeless is it's so complicated. There's so many things out there for people that it's almost impossible to even get your head around it. And so I'm trying to help him navigate with the help of a social worker and a group of other people in our church, get his life on track, you know. And here we have so many things to help people. And there, I've been there. They would love to have that. They don't have the resources to have it. They just don't have it. And the reason we do is because we are, as a whole, not every single person, of course, we are an extraordinarily fortunate people. Here's a comparison. To sponsor just one child with Compassion Canada only costs $1.35 a day, which can be compared to what? Well, how about less than a Tim Hortons coffee? But if you're like me, I like Starbucks, and I notice there's one down the street, and I'm thinking, that's good. Stop there afternoon this afternoon. But you know what you get at Starbucks for $1.35? Nothing. Nothing at all. Of course not. $1.35 a day adds up to $41 a month. Because of the financial differences in the places where we work, $41 Canadian here goes much, much farther there than it goes here. Plus, our government allows us to claim this as a tax deduction. So the actual cost to you may be much less than the $1.35 a day or $41 a month, depending on how that works out for you. But when you sponsor a child with compassion, it's actually a partnership between you, compassion, and the child's local church in one of 25 different countries in the world. Here's what the child actually receives. The most important gift is they get personally connected to you. It can be like family and friends helping other family and friends, particularly if you build a relationship with them through letter writing and sending photos back and forth and so forth, because you are the only sponsor that child has in the entire world. So you become very important to that child and his parents. They write you letters and bless you. You can write them letters and encourage them and send scriptures to them and so forth. You can even go visit them in person. And our office here in London, Ontario can help you do that. What I know is that your words to them, your prayers for them, are some of the most important influences they've had. Like I've met hundreds and hundreds of these sponsored children, and I just can't overemphasize how important a personal connection to them can be. It's also really important to understand that compassion is more than a humanitarian ministry giving day-to-day practical help. Yes, it's that. It's all of that, but it's more than that. Compassion is a child sponsorship ministry that is Christ-centered, gospel-centered, local church-based on the field. Church, child development, yes, practical humanitarian needs, yes, but also child discipleship ministry. Like, we're very intentional about helping the children appreciate God's love for them the same way your church is doing right now around this building with your children. Because we know the boys and girls need more than practical help. They need hope in their heart, because poverty robs people of hopelessness and makes them feel helpless. What God offers them is hope and a way out of their situation. So what I can promise you is that every child you sponsor will have their own personal mentor on the field, and they will also receive personal discipleship around the gospel. And so our prayer is that all of them will hear God's call and they'll respond to him. All their members of their family will come to Christ. And what I can happily tell you is that right now we are literally seeing hundreds of thousands of people come to Christ every year. It is an amazing, amazing evangelistic ministry to be a part of. And so what happens is your sponsored child attends a church in his or her own neighborhood that has a compassion development center. And that center provides a number of humanitarian and practical help for the child, such as educational tutoring at the right appropriate ages, you know, nutritious meals and snacks, emotional support, medical and dental care, occupational training when they get older, vaccinations, human trafficking and abuse prevention, hygiene, education, and so forth, but most importantly to us is also their spiritual training. And that help is provided there in their own neighborhood based on the developmental needs of the child, like how old they are and what their needs are, and whatever the relevant needs in that particular community are, because not every community is the same. I mean, even in low and medium income countries, not everybody's living in poverty, of course, and we only work with those who are living in extreme poverty. And this help is provided by local people who grew up there, who are Christian people, who are part of the church ministry, who know the language, they know the culture, they are highly trained by us to do this ministry, and they know the most effective ways to serve their own people. So listen, the heroes of our international compassion story are those local church and local people who are doing the ministry on the front lines. The heroes are not us, the sponsors. Like, we're only doing a little bit of what we can do out of our abundance to help them do what they wouldn't otherwise be able to do and be a blessing to them. They're the heroes, not us. We're just helping out. The child goes down to the church where the Compassion Ministry is located a number of days a week for various programs. And so your sponsorship donation goes to pay for that programming, the personal care for that child and help with him and his family, and the relevant costs to make that happen. Now, one question I get a lot is, what if a community needs community development? And maybe they do need clean water. They don't have a well, and they're having to walk 5 miles to get a bucket of water several times a day. Compassion raises separate money for those kinds of programs. We work with many, many other organizations that specialize in that kind of thing. So as a result, your monthly sponsorship donation only goes to your child's program in that church, not these other community projects, although those things are important too, and Compassion does have other ministries that address that, but today we're talking about sponsorship, which is the core of what we do. And so this morning, you have an opportunity to participate. It's not the only way to be a cheerful giver. You know, it's one way, it's a great way. And so for those of you who are considering taking a boy or a girl or maybe both home with you today or another one, as the case may be, out in the foyer and also up in the lunch area, the fellowship room, there's going to be some tables, and some of our volunteers will be there to answer any question you might have, and encourage all of you to drop by the table just to see firsthand what we're doing. For example, you will find on the table cards like this. I realize you can't see these, but these are two different sponsor children who are praying for a sponsor. And so here's just two. This is Komla, but he goes by Espor. He's from Togo. He's 9 years old. That's Espor. And here we have this little girl's name is Princess. Don't you love that? But she goes by Jerian, which is her middle name. I'm not sure if I pronounce it. She's from the Philippines, someplace around Manila. You know, if you're from a different country, one of the great things you can do is sponsoring a child, you know, in your own areas, is you can visit them easier when you visit mom and dad or whoever you go visit back home, right? We're not everywhere, but we are in 25 different countries. You may be able to do that. Well, those are a couple of sponsored kids. By the way, we have all kinds of sponsors. This is really cool. We have children and teenagers. In fact, I'm going to show you a video in just a second here of a man who was sponsored by a teenager and what happened to him. They save their money, babysitting, whatever, you know. Their parents and grandparents will sponsor a child for their children or their grandchildren, sometimes one sponsored child for every one of their kids or every one of their grandkids. And the reason why we do that is we want our kids to appreciate what they have here and not take it for granted and start early with that. It also gives the kids an opportunity to have a mission. Be missionaries starting right off when they're just writing letters back and forth and kind of having a pen pal someplace in the world. And for some people, like us, we were able to actually go visit three of our sponsor children. So it's amazing. Now we have a new sponsor child that we're going to have to go visit, and we're looking forward to doing that someday when we're able to. College roommates, friends that get together, sponsor one child between them, businesses, sponsor whole groups of kids. All I'm saying, there's lots of ways of doing this. And yes, you can have a personal ministry starting today. You can take a child home with you. I'm not kidding. It's true. And you can put their picture on the fridge and start that ministry. Well, I'd like to close today in two ways. Well, I'm going to give you a very brief personal story of how important a little sponsor girl and her mom has become to my family. And then I want to show you this very short video about this young man who grew up and what happened to him. This personal story I sometimes have a hard time sharing because I get emotional, but we'll see how it goes. Our son, Bill and Rebecca, I'm Bill Jr., he's Bill the third. They have a ministry to couples who are childless because of their own experience. They had been married for many years and could not have a biological child of their own. So what they did is they sponsored a whole bunch of Compassion children, one of whom was this little girl you see on screen named Sri Lanka. She's there with her mom and all of her sisters, and Nancy and I are there too, and we got to visit them. I have permission to share this personal story. Bill and Rebecca came to a crisis decision about 7 years ago to give up hoping for their own biological child. And the symbol to them was it's going to give away all the things they had accumulated over the years and just say, well, we're going to surrender to the sovereignty of God. It's not going to happen. That's a good thing, a great thing to do. But right in the midst of that crisis, and that was a crisis not just for them, but for our whole family, because we all knew about it, a great surprise happened. Sri Lanka's mom contacts them She had discovered from the letter writing and the photos sent back and forth that they did not have their own child, but they were sponsoring her daughter. So this mom who lives in Haiti, you know, a country where many people have had many difficult things happen to them, she said she was praying that God would give them a child of their own. Here's what she said, and I quote, now she's ministering to us, "Don't give up hope, have faith." You can only imagine when that letter came in, when that message came in, how impactful it was. Because they had been married 11 years at that time, and they were so moved by her words of encouragement, they decided, okay, we're not going to give away the child things. We're going to keep hoping. We're going to keep praying. We're going to go back to the doctor. The doctor said, nothing we can do years before. We'll go back, but, you know, God's a God of science. He's the creator of science. Doctors sometimes discover things God already knew. So they're going to go back and see. And that ended up being very important because I realized this doesn't happen for everyone. But for Bill and Rebecca, they ended up having their own biological daughter. Her name is Allison Elizabeth Rose Lynn Coleman. Now, why, that's a long name for a little girl, right? Why did they name her Rose Lynn? You know why? That's Sri Lanka's mom's name. That mom living down there in poverty who gave our kids hope just like they were giving her family hope. Our family had but given up hope. But not that great woman of faith. I know that miracle would not have happened without her great faith, her earnest prayers, her words of encouragement to my family. So when the family down there heard the good news, Sri Lanka writes a letter back wanting to know what her sister's name is. It's true. And if that's not enough of a blessing, Allison now has a baby sister named Madison Grace. Grace. Oh, yes, Grace. What a perfect name. Yeah, I believe with all my heart the blessing came from the fervent prayers, the words of encouragement of that woman living in poverty. You see, what I'm saying, church, is that, and the reason I share this illustration, is that sponsorship with compassion can be, that's up to you, but it can be much more personal than just helping a child or benefiting their family. Like, when you build that relationship with them through letter writing and sending photos back and forth, you don't know whether that child's going to grow up to change his or her community for the glory of God, like this fellow I'm going to introduce you to in the video. You never know whether that child's going to be used by God to touch your whole family with one of the greatest blessings you've ever experienced, because, you see, that is our story. That's exactly what happened. And I'm very glad that Nancy and I were the ones that got involved with compassion first, and then the legacy passed on to our kids and now to our grandkids. And like next Sunday, our granddaughter will actually be with us speaking on behalf of compassion in another church, because you can see the legacy passing down, down, down. Well, thank you so much for letting us be here today. And let me say, may God bless you in all you do, in all of your service to the glory of God alone, but we always want it to be with eagerness, never with reluctance or needing to be compelled. Watch the video.